Blog Talk Radio. Hello, welcome back to another Natural Horse Radio Show, brought to you by Natural Horse Network and Simply NHN. This is DC, your host. Today is our show with guest Tim Link, animal communicator, and we will be taking your calls. You can call in to 347-326-9161, or you can join us in the chat room and ask your question there. So let's get started. Okay, welcome everybody. Welcome, Tim.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here. How are you today?
I'm doing great. And before we get started, I just need to play a little quick message from one of our sponsors. So hang in there and we'll get right back to you.
That sounds good.
Nutrition is always the basis of good, sound care for any animal. And that is why we at Aspen Bloom Pet Care offer special nutritional consultations for those desiring guidance in integrating natural dog care into the life of their dogs. And you can pick up a copy of Dr. Kim Bloomer's book, co-authored with holistic veterinarian Dr. Jill Elliott, Whole Health for Happy Dogs, for an easy step-by-step guide to natural dog care. Aspen Bloom Pet Care, seeing your pet's good health bloom. Go to www.aspenbloompetcare.com.
Alrighty, well, usually we start out our shows with Tim with a little educational information about your pets, but we didn't really plan anything, so I guess I'll just jump in and say, be sure to spay and neuter your pets, and if you're going to get a new pet, check out the animal shelters and the rescues first before you go to a pet shop. And so, Tim, you got anything you want to add for the new year here?
Well, that's a great way to start it off, because obviously the overpopulation of dogs and cats in particular is very high, especially this time of the year and the way our economy is shaping up. So it's very important to go ahead and move forward with that to get spayed and neutered. And keep in mind, you know, if your wallet's a little bit tighter due to the holidays or due to the economic turndown, loss of jobs, whatever it may be, that's okay, because there are plenty of organizations and groups out there that will offer a low-cost spay and neuter for individuals who are falling on hard times, as well as some groups will offer free spay and neuter. So just check with your local rescue groups and local county shelters and veterinarians' offices and see who can help you out. So it's always a positive thing to do.
Good point. So there's no excuse not to spay and neuter your pets.
No, definitely not. There's plenty of organizations out there that can help you out, and just need to get it under control a little bit. I was had the fortunate pleasure to visit our shelter this morning. I'm the president of the Humane Society of Forsyth County, which is a county just north of downtown Atlanta, Georgia, and we had so many wonderful cats and dogs in there. Beautiful purebreds are in there, as well as some wonderful mixed breeds, and virtually any animal that you could possibly, dog or cat that you could possibly think of, is you could find at our shelter or at one of our foster homes. So check out your local shelters, and they can definitely find a good, loving pet for to start off your good 2009.
Yeah, and a lot of people think you can't get purebred at the shelters, and that's just not true. There's a lot of purebred dogs there.
Well, there definitely is. We rescued our schnauzers. We have two purebred standard schnauzers that we rescued 6 years ago, and they're doing great. Our shelter in particular, when you're talking about dogs, we had quite a few purebreds up there. There was a wonderful little chihuahua running around, so nice little pocket pooch for someone to have. And, then, of course, you can't go wrong with some of the beautiful cats out there as well. So check out your local shelters, and most of your rescue groups out there will do spay and neuter, have spay and neuter already done on their animals before they adopt them out. I know we do. So So
yeah,
I
think most of them do.
Yeah, so it's a positive way forward. You can get a great furry family member for 2009, and while you're at it, they've already got them all spay and neutered and shots and microchips and everything ready to go. So it's a great place to get a beautiful part of a new part of your family.
Well, we've got a few people that sent in pictures today, so we're just waiting for our first caller, and I guess we'll just keep chatting while we wait for her to call in. I did post pictures of all the critters that were sent. I think we just got horses today, and I posted them in the community so you can follow along with us if you want. And hopefully you have them, Tim, in some semblance of order.
Yes, we've got them all the beautiful horses sitting here in front of us, and definitely they're all interested in talking. So it's we always find the horses out of all the animals that I talk to, they seem to be the most chattiest, I guess would be the word I would use. So they definitely are open to having conversations with us, and so we're always excited to have a chat with them.
You think the horses are the most chatty, really?
I really
more
do.
More than cats?
You know? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I really do. Of all the experiences I've had, they seem to be the chattiest. And it's real interesting because, you know, most people that, you know, around horses, they feel that sometimes they're quiet or they're kind of aloof or they do their own little thing. And in reality, they are usually very anxious to have a conversation with us, let us know what's going on with them, as well as let us know, you know, things that they want us to know about what's going on around them. So, yeah, they're always very chatty.
Well, folks, we'll take callers, so go ahead and call in. First come, first serve. I know the one gal, she said she had dial-up and it could take her a while, but she was just going to try and call in. So we could wait a couple minutes, and if not, I guess we'll just start with Angie's horse, Baron.
Yeah, that's fine. So what are you seeing out there as far as animals? Are you seeing anything in the horse community being impacted by the economy and the changes and things going on?
You know, surprisingly, you hear the stories constantly on the internet, but you got to weed through and find what's true and what's not, because a lot of it is just propaganda. You know, the abandoned horses everywhere, running down the streets, wreaking havoc everywhere. Oh, good, we have a caller, so we'll finish up here real quick and take our first caller. But, you know, here in Colorado, there isn't a huge difference. It's more affected by the economy, obviously. The shelters are saying that they're not that much more full than they are normally. But what I'm seeing is that I think more and more people, I know I read the Thoroughbred Friends blog every day. They're in California, and I know they are seeing a tremendous amount of people that have lost their homes that have to find places for their horses, and that's really sad. And so I have a link to that blog, but if anybody's not familiar with it, check it out, because they do some tremendous, tremendous work. It's just amazing the amount of horses that they take in and rehome. Wonderful work.
That's incredible.
So let's go ahead and take our first caller. Hello?
Hello?
Area code 505, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Stephanie.
Hi. Hi, Stephanie. And Tim, Stephanie's horse is, tell us the name of your horse.
His name is Murado.
Okay.
Wonderful.
And you know what picture that is, Tim?
Yes, I do.
Oh, wow, you're way ahead of me. Okay.
Hi, Tim.
Okay. Hi, how are you today?
Good, thanks. Good, thank you.
Great. So now, did he get to pick his name, or how did the name come about?
The name came about, man, an older gentleman now, who bred this horse, names all of his horses Spanish names, since they are colonial Spanish horses, and he named him El Moradito, is his registered name. Morado means purple in Spanish, which is the color of royalty, And he always felt that that this little gray horse was going to be an ambassador for our breed. And all of the horses that this gentleman has named live up to their names. It's really cool.
Great. And what kind of ambassador is he for you?
For me, he really has been the horse in my adult life that has sort of brought me out of hiding.
Mm-hmm.
Murado, to me, is my once-in-a-lifetime horse, and I honestly believe that he has taught me more than I've taught him. And it's really, he's almost like a symbol for the work that I'm doing with this breed and my own personal thing.
Mm-hmm.
That makes any sense?
No, that makes perfect sense. You know, it's real interesting. The reason I asked the question about how did he come about his name, because a lot of times our animals will pick their names, and they'll do it in sort of a subconscious way, and we'll pick up on what we want to name them, and we're thinking that, well, this is a name that I came up with because based on whatever it may be, or I got this gut feeling that this is what I should call this animal. In reality, they have forwarded over that message to us on what they feel their name should be, and
mm-hmm.
a lot of time it is based on what their purpose or their mission truly is. And so when you talk about the color, you know, purple or violet, not only is it, you know, a very majestic color, you know, full of majesty and royalty, but it's also, if you're familiar with the seven known chakras that run
mm-hmm.
through our bodies, then we've got violet as the crown chakra, and the crown chakra is at the top of our head, and that's the one that opens up to everything, that allows everything to flow in us and flow out of us. And so when you talked about opening yourself up and really becoming who you truly are, coming out of hiding, that is part of that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's opened up that crown chakra and has opened up that spirituality. Purple is a very spiritual color as well. And so our animals will pick those names, whether we know it or not, they'll pick those names, and a lot of times because that is their mission, that is their purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really, really interesting, really cool that you've known that, you identify that with that, and you understand that this is what he's brought to you.
Mm-hmm.
So he is a very good good teacher for you, as well as a good teacher for all the animals around him as well. So he's pretty proud of that as well.
Yes, he is, and we are of him.
Well, he is gorgeous. So what questions do you have of him?
Well, I really don't have any specific questions. I just was trying to get some feedback. Originally, he wasn't the horse that I wanted to send a picture of, because this other horse, I didn't have a picture of it. So, like, last minute, I said, well, we'll just talk about Murado. But I know on an intuitive level that Murado, he's been a little bit disappointed, I think, in me. Because he is my ambassador, we've traveled all over promoting the horses through him, and I've kind of felt like lately he's a little tired of being the puppet on the string. Look at my horse, and he just kind of wants to be sort of just, I don't know, like not on this pedestal. That's the feeling I've gotten from him. So when I'm out playing with him and working with him, I'm really trying to just, like, not put any pressure on him to be something that maybe he doesn't want to be at that moment.
You know, this is funny because Tim and I hear this all the time from different horses that perform, horses that show. They always seem to have the same attitude, like, I just need a break.
Right. Well, you know, they're wanting some of them enjoy the show, some of them not so much, but they want it. They always want to please us. But after a certain period of time, they sort of want to not be on that pedestal, not be in front of the show, not be the show horse, and actually start bringing that back in and start doing more of what they're truly here to do, which is to teach others, teach other horses, teach us various things in our lives as well. So it may be a time for him to slow down. He keeps showing me, is the other horse you were going to send a picture of, is it a darker color horse, like brown with black mane?
No, it's a lighter horse. And he's not on the property that Murata's on.
Okay. Who's the brown horse with the darker mane?
That could be Coyote.
Okay. Is Coyote
or Tim, maybe you're looking at the next caller because Stephanie's horse is the first one. He's a gray, and she's running beside him, or they're walking, trotting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. No.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm picking up. He wants you to know something about this darker horse. It's a darker brown horse with a black mane. I don't know if it's it's Coyote there on your property or.
Yes. Yeah. That's his new pasture mate.
Oh,
okay. Okay. There we go. All right. So, have you started working with Coyote yet? To the degree that you work with him?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all.
So, do you think you're going to be able to do that?
Coyote, Coyote needs some work. Coyote's a resale project for me.
Okay.
And I've been like, wow, I got to get out and work with Coyote.
There you go. There you go. So yeah. He thinks that's important, too. He wants you to work with Coyote. He wants you to teach Coyote the things that you've taught him. When you're working with him, if you can have Coyote nearby, he doesn't have to be necessarily in the same rink, but if he's in the same pasture or same area, mm-hmm. that he can see what's going on, if he can feel that energy, get a connection to what you guys are accomplishing in your training sessions, then that'll feed over positively to Coyote.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is something that he's actually wanting you to do, spend more time focusing on Coyote and getting Coyote to where he needs to be. Because I think Coyote's going
to... Probably so he can get rid of Coyote, because Coyote has come in and sort of squeezed Murata out of Alpha.
Ah, okay. Yep, there you go. So I think that, he probably does want him to move on as quickly as possible. But I think there's a lot of potential there in Coyote as well. So there may be more in his ability than what what shows in first glance.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, he's very in tune with Coyote, and wants you to spend some time with him. So now, he hasn't told me that he wants him to, that he wants you to spend time with him so you can get him the heck out of there. But it is important for him to. Murata wants you to work with Coyote, so I think that's. That's the clue for the day. He does have some concerns. But how's he been feeling? He looks good. He feels good to me. Has he had any issues at all?
No. He's been good since he's been here. As far as his health is, these horses are really easy keepers, and I've never felt like he's really been. Like putting the weight on, like I would like to see him with a little more weight, and I'm not really sure. Like for the years that I've owned him, he's only six. I've had him for 3 years. That he's never really like filled out yet, and I don't know if he's wanting something more in his diet or if that's just who he is. But I often worry, that he's not fat enough. But he looks great to me. He looks athletic, and these horses aren't supposed to be fat.
Right.
But
no, he feels real good to me. I think he's going to be a lean horse. I don't think he's going to build up a lot of bulk. Maybe not even in his later years. He seems very, very lean, very fit. And DC, I don't know if you have any recommendations on feeds or supplements that that you'd like to
share?
Well,
I was going to ask her, what are you feeding him right now?
He's just on grass hay right now.
Okay.
And, you know, he's got a mineral block out there. Okay.
Well, first I'm going to say, you know, grass hay doesn't always have all the nutrients that horses need in it. And the only way to know that is to have it tested.
Mm-hmm.
And the mineral blocks are a waste of money because they're made for, they may say equine, but they're made for cattle. And horses don't have the tongues like cattle do to get the amount of minerals and salt they need from a block. So you're much better off to feed them loose.
Like a free choice.
Yes, make sure you
yeah.
get salt that doesn't have, it's not been chemically altered or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And but there's many things that you can add to his diet if you feel he's not getting the nutrients he needs.
They also get a flake of alfalfa once
okay.
a day because I'm new to New Mexico and I'm still just figuring out like the hay, and I don't like the grain that this local company makes, you know, so I'm still like
mm-hmm.
learning about all this area.
Okay.
Which is why I rarely feed my horses grain anyways.
Well, yeah, a lot of it's not that nutritious, you know.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Right. And I like back home I was feeding a organic free choice salt that, you know, they like, but I can't find anything like that here.
Well, that's what we sell online through our company, Simply NHN.
Well, okay.
Yeah, you may not have known that, but we do sell that. We also have all the daily herbal blends for horses. To just help them get a little extra vitamins and nutrients they need.
Mm-hmm.
So you can talk to us in the community about that. Me
okay.
and Live to Ride.
And
we can help you out with that.
Okay. That sounds great. So, Tim, you think that Murado, he's not, like, craving any, you know, anything in his diet at this point?
No, he's feeling pretty good to me. I think that, you know, some of the things that you hang on in the past, he may prefer to come back to. The alfalfa, I don't know, DC, what's your thoughts on that? I always limit the amount of alfalfa they get. It's a little bit harder grass on their system for the long term.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, he's feeling good. I think he's just going to be a lean horse. He doesn't, I'm not getting any blockages within him. I think he's in great shape. I just start working on Coyote and getting Coyote moved on.
Gosh. Wow.
Yeah, and that would be really good for me too. So so with the time that I spend with Murado, does he want me to do anything different, or is he just okay with, you know, the games we're playing? And I'm, well, lately I've done nothing with him, but am I like engaging enough for him?
Well, with your personality, of course you are. Come on. But, no, he just mix it up a little bit. You know, he's a very intelligent horse. Not to say that they're, you know, all horses are, but he has really inquisitive side to him as well. And so I would really just, I would challenge him. You know, I would mix up the games a little bit, try not to make it as routine. That'll excite him a little bit. You know, there's a big difference between having a routine for your pet, for your horse, compared to when you're doing training or doing playtime, mixing it up. When you're doing playtime and training, they like a little bit of challenge. They like to be mentally stimulated. All other parts of their life, they like to have the same set routine. So, you know, they like the same foods and they like the same time they get fed and, you know, everything else
mm-hmm.
the same. But when it comes to training and it comes to playtime, mix it up. Get some challenges in there. You know, if you've got anybody else to buddy up with that he relates to, get them involved as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, stay active. I think it'll do it'll do both of you really good to stay mentally and physically challenged and stimulated.
And give yourself some credit, Stephanie.
Yeah, he's doing
yeah.
great.
Oh yeah,
great.
I mean,
great.
Yeah, he's cool.
Yep.
All right, well, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah, so I just have a question. Do like, do I hang up now, or do other people come on? Like, do I have to go to the computer to listen to the show, or is this, how does this
You know,
work?
I can just put you on mute if you want to listen that way. How
is that
you
okay?
You want to do that?
Yeah, I'd like
fun.
To.
Very
okay,
good.
Okay, thank you very much.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks, Stephanie.
Okay, caller 519, you're on the air. You there, Cheryl? Hello, hello.
DC?
Hello, can you hear me? She keeps cutting out. Are you there, Cheryl?
I'm here.
Oh, great. Okay. Sorry about that. I think I kept clicking you off when I meant to put you on.
Oh, great.
Okay, well,
okay,
you're on the air,
connected.
So.
Hi, Tim.
Hi. How are you today, Cheryl?
Oh, I'm great. I'm so excited to be talking to you. This is so new to me. I'm just thrilled.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, it's definitely a pleasure for me as well, so I appreciate calling in. So who do we have today?
Pictures of, you should have pictures there of Houdini and Shadow, two horses.
Okay, great. And who do you want to talk to first?
I'll go with Houdini.
Houdini. Wonderful. Tell us a little bit about Houdini.
He's a Pasofino. He's 6 years old. I got him in 2006, so I haven't had him too long. He's domineering. When I first got him, he was not very trusting, especially of men. And he took a long time for me to come to truly understand him and accept me, and now it's just great. As far as I know, it's great. I mean, he's thinking something else. But I live each morning to go see him, and he's always happy to see me, and he loves to play, and I'm just having a great time with him.
Okay, great.
Is there anything else you'd like to know about him?
Yeah, so what questions do you have for him?
Well, I think the most pressing one is I'm concerned. I just want to have peace of mind if you could ask him if everything's okay where I'm keeping him at the barn, because I just have an uncomfortable feeling about a couple things, but could be my imagination. I'm very protective.
Yeah. Now, this is a separate barn. You're having him at a stable. You don't own it. It's not on your property, correct?
Right. We're boarding. We had bought a property and we're working on it, but it's not ready yet, and we have to sell our house before we can take them there. But we started working on a track for them there and all that.
Good.
So I'm stuck where I am right now.
Okay. How long has he been at this barn?
Oh, about a year and a half or so.
Okay. Does he like to spend most of the time in pasture?
He loves being outside, yes, but there's no shelter where we are, so you have to know your weather.
Okay.
To actually put him out.
Yeah, well, he was saying he's... How often do they put him outside?
They don't. We would have to do it. We go two times a day. We go morning and night.
Okay, so you lay him out in the morning and then bring him back in?
No, right now, because there's no shelters outside and the weather's just been kind of crazy, and so he's not getting out into the paddock. It's ice and slippery. And
so is he in a stall, Cheryl, or
yeah.
What is he? Okay.
He's in a stall, but there's an arena attached to the facility, so, of course, when we go there, we go in the arena. And sometimes I'll take him outside. It depends on the ice and the day. But I can't leave him out because of, you know, flurries, storm, rain. I mean, we've had crazy weather, and then there's no shelter. So we would have to make sure we're available and paying attention to get back there to bring him in.
Yeah.
So we haven't been putting him out because of the shelter. No shelter. So is he upset about that?
Yeah, he is. I think you need to explain that to him, because for some reason he's not, he's very smart, but he's not grasping the fact that he can't just go out. He just can't go out and do what he wants to do. He knows it's cold and there's ice and there's muck and yuck going on, but he's not, it's not registering that is why he can't do what he really wants to do, which is spend most of his time, you know, out and about. So what you need to do when next time you see him is let him know what the situation is, what he needs to do to help you out, and why it's a good thing. Okay, so you tell him that, you know, Houdini, I can't let you out in the pasture all the time because it's icy and cold, and I'm afraid you'll hurt yourself. What I need you to do is enjoy the time that we do have together in the rink, you know, here at the barn. You know, be strong for me until weather breaks, because this is going to make me very happy. And then when spring comes, you're going to be, you know, he'll get out more.
Okay.
So it's always explained to him what the situation is, what they need to do to help you out, and why is it a good thing, what's in it for them.
Okay.
And you can do this verbally. You can tell them verbally, just like you and I are speaking, or you can project this. You can visualize it, visualize the whole thing, visualizing, you know, the bad weather outside and him being in the barn, because that's what he needs to do to be safe and comfortable, and that it's a good thing for him and it's a good thing for you, so you don't have to worry about him. So you can visualize that as well, and he'll pick up on that, because I don't think right now he's not putting two and two together that's the reason why he can't get out and about.
But the
barn's okay. How long has he? I may have asked this. How long has he been at this location?
It's probably a year and a half, maybe a little more.
Okay. Had you already anticipated? Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Had you already anticipated having your new place done by now? Is your plan a little bit further off than what you had originally planned?
Yes.
Okay. So he's picked up on that as well, because that irritates you, doesn't it?
Yeah, makes me sad for him, because there's so much more. The relationship would just be just so much better. I've talked to him recently about it to explain it. That.
Good.
You know, we live in an automotive town, and things aren't so good, so I don't even know when we'll be able to sell our house. But I'm going to try and be optimistic.
That's right. Be positive
and
about this thing.
We do what we can. We've got a track for them, and it's just going to keep getting better. And so when we do get there, it'll be good, but sometimes we have to wait for things. Him too.
Okay, there you go. There you go. Well, that's the perfect. You know, that's the perfect.
Help me out here, Houdini.
That is the perfect thing to do, is explain to him what's going on, because he knows that he's not mad at you for it, but you know, he's heard you talk about it. He knows the plan was to already have your new place and a place where he could be with you guys all the time, and he understands that part of it, but he probably just continued to explain to him why that's a little slower to take off, but it's going to happen, and here's what you need to, what he needs to do to help you out, and why it's going to be a good thing when it's all said and done. So, I have
a couple more questions. I don't know if they're the kind that I should ask you, but I made him a slow-down hay feeder, and the barn manager's being negative about it and telling me that it's irritating him and frustrating him, and that's why he's biting on the wood. And I go, he's biting on the wood because he's bored and he's cooped up and he anticipates his hay. This part I left, third part I left out, and he anticipates his hay and he's not getting it on time unless we go there. And so he started to not, he didn't put it in the hay, slow-down hay feeder, because I've been really working hard on their feet to get them just right, and I have to really be careful about their diet. I don't give them grain. I'm real careful. I give them a few black sunflower seeds, minerals, and granular free choice salt. And sometimes the grass that's outside, small amounts. And it's their feet are doing better, but also slowed down their feeding. And then so he just threw it, and then I almost laughed inside because he went to the hay bag even though it was empty. It's just what he's used to doing, and I didn't see that it would. They kind of like it. I think they like the sound of it when they're ripping it out.
Right.
But
right.
I'm open-minded that, you know, he's only been on horses forever, and I'm new. So I'm keeping an open mind about it, but I think I know my horse, and they just, they like pulling it.
Yeah, right. I don't think there's any problem with your feeder at all.
Okay.
But this is Tim's show, so Tim, what do you think?
No, I don't think there's a problem with it either. I think it's just different than what you know, the people there are used to or what they want done. So I would definitely, you know, I keep everything as is, keep it moving forward. If you do any changes moving forward, then just explain that to them. You know, explain to Houdini and let them know what's going on with it. But I think you're on the right track. You should be doing what you feel comfortable, and you know your horses better than anybody. So.
And Cheryl, talk to me after the show because I have some ideas on what you could do to stop him from chewing on the wood. You know, a lot of that is boredom, and some of it could be a mineral that he might be needing. But I can give you some suggestions so we can chat about that after the show.
Okay, thank you. He doesn't have any concerns about anybody there, though, at the barn.
He's not a big fan of. Is there an older gentleman? Does he run the place or does he own the place?
Yes. There's a gentleman.
Yeah, not a big fan of his.
I didn't think so. Is it just him?
Yeah. Well, that's the one I'm getting the most feedback from Houdini on is the older gentleman.
Is it a big enough concern that I should be doing something, or is it just they're used to some humans being what they are, and he can persevere?
Well, I think he'll be fine. I don't think they're going to do anything maliciously to him. I just don't think they do what he wants them to do, and it's not because he's being. I don't think it's because your horses are being, temperamental or anything. I think it's just the fact that they like and have grown accustomed to certain things, and I'm not sure if this gentleman is doing exactly what they're accustomed to. This could be, as far as how much time he spends with them, or does he get his food? Does he get the food out quick enough? Whatever it may be, I don't think that. I almost get the feeling it's more of. The horses get what the horses get because they're horses.
Exactly. You can say it's exact.
So,
yeah.
Okay. So, I think it's one of those things where, I don't think that it's to the point where, the horses aren't treated poorly, but, I'd let the guy know. I'd stress it to him that, you're paying to board them there. And you have certain things that you want and certain things that need to be done, and they should honor that. And if it's different from the way they're used to doing things or what have you, then so be it. It doesn't matter. It's you're the customer here. So he should be accommodating whatever you feel is best for your horses.
Yeah,
so.
I think he suffers depression at times. So, and because it's so close to home and there's the indoor arena and we have the liberty to be there any time that we continue there because it works for our relationships and all the time that we can spend with him in the arena and everywhere else. Can I ask another question about Houdini?
Sure.
I've been working with him, just mounting him. I haven't asked him to take some steps because he's a real go horse. And I think he's had some baggage from prior people and the gear they put on him, and that he almost before he used to be just so fearful of even the sight of a saddle and whatnot. I'm at the point where I just put my leg over and I sit there, and I'm still a little fearful about asking him to go forward. That's my 2009 thing, one of them, that we're going to take the next step. And I just want to know if he has an opinion, if that he's going to be calm when we do that point, because
right.
He's powerful. You know, he's probably too powerful for me, but I love him so. And
that's
he's
right.
not going anywhere.
even
if I have to be on the ground with him for the rest of his life, the bond is just too deep.
There you go. Well, first of all, the first thing you need to do is, and I'm glad it's a 2009 resolution for you, is we got to get rid of that fear. Okay, so if you're worried about it, if you're fearful, or if you're timid about mounting him, or worried about things, then guess what? He's going to pick up on that, and he's going to act accordingly. And our animals will do one of two things when it comes to negative energy. They'll first try to deflect it, so which means that they don't want to be around it. So if you're worried or concerned or negative, then they will deflect that and they won't respond properly. Or the other thing they'll do, if it's consistent and they can't reflect it, is they absorb it, which is the thing that you don't want them to do, because it's just like us. If we absorb too much negative energy, then we get into this thing called dis-ease, and dis-ease leads to bad things for us mentally, physically, and emotionally. So
okay.
That's the first thing you got to do. Don't worry about it. Know that's a positive thing. Talk to him. Let him know why you're doing it and what you need from him and why it's going to be a good thing. And then from there, I would just if it's new to him, start it slowly. You know, do things slowly. Get him used to, getting the saddle and everything on him. And then once you've got to that point where he's fairly comfortable with that and you've explained it to him, then you go to sitting on him, and then you slowly go into the other things you want to do with him. And slowly but surely he'll start to get to understanding and him being comfortable around it.
He's been ridden before, but I don't think it was a good experience for him. Because I got to the point of putting my leg over and communicating to him that, no, don't go anywhere, we're just going to stand here, it was like, is this for real? You know? You can tell by the expressions on their face, and it was like, oh, and then he just relaxed and went, oh, this person, oh, yeah, I can just stand still here, and it was just such a new experience for him.
That's a really good beginning, though. That sounds like a real good beginning for you to move forward positively.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I think so. I think he does have, this may be one of your questions you have, but let's see if I can answer it before you ask it, and that's about his past. And do you know much about his past?
No, I never got to meet the owners.
Okay.
I saw how depressed he was with the broker, and he was really sad where he was, and then we brought him home and worked carefully with him, and then he just became really, really happy. He had dominance issues. And then we brought the second horse, and I told him all about the second horse coming. And it was almost like a transference of information. Houdini told Shadow, hey, these people, you're not going to believe it.
Well, they definitely talk.
And then the first, I waited, I think, a day or two, and then I put them in the arena, and they groomed each other for an hour and a half.
Wow.
And I thought, oh, that's pretty good.
Yes.
And I am pretty sure they like each other. They do their little horsey things, but.
Yeah.
So,
no,
Tim, were you going to tell us something about his past?
Yeah. Well, I think
okay.
The key thing is, we worry more about our past, and we worry more about our animals' past than our animals do. They don't get too caught up in their past. They remember it, but they don't live in the past. They live in
right.
the present, and they move forward with accomplishing their mission and their purpose. So, you know, some of the things that he has experienced is, you know, he's really looking for some stability. That's the key thing behind him. I think that you're starting to see some positive things from him. I think bringing on his pal and giving him somebody to sort of teach and oversee is a very positive thing. And I think once you get to your new home and the new permanent situation, he's going to really respond very well to that. So you'll start seeing even better things out of him as you move forward. But, yeah, his situation in the past, you know, was kind of unstable, you know, as far as who he was with. And then, obviously, he was sold off. And you know, he's got that underlying uncertainty about what is going to happen next. So I think anything you can do to reassure him that it's not going to be, you know, a constant change in his lifestyle, then I think the stronger he'll get and the more he'll even show you the wonderful things he can do.
Okay, that's good news. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty.
So, Cheryl, did you have questions about Shadow as well?
Well, yeah, he's totally different from Houdini, and I guess I don't think he has any issues other than the same one that Houdini has at the barn with the older gentleman.
Yeah, well, you'll start to see. How long's Shadow been with Houdini?
May 2007, we got Shadow.
Okay, so a little year and a half or so. So yeah. you'll start seeing more and more. Shadow is a little bit more carefree, a little bit more relaxed energy. You know, he can go with the flow a little bit better than Houdini can. But you'll start to see him feed more and more off of Houdini. So the things that irritate Houdini and the things that he doesn't like, Shadow will start responding in that fashion as well. So like you had just mentioned, you know, some of the things happening at the barn, Houdini doesn't like it, so Shadow is feeling the same thing. And so you're going to get a lot of that. Well, his name is perfect for him. He'll shadow a lot of what Houdini does.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you ought to be cognizant of that. He you know, he's a he can stand on his own. He's a very he feels great. He's a great horse. I just think he's going to continue to feed more and more off of Houdini. So you have to be very careful on if something.
He had an issue with his right leg, and the farrier, also the owner of the barn, and I did not agree on the treatment, and I followed what I thought was best, and he's improved.
Lower part of the leg?
Well, you know, sometimes when a horse limps mm-hmm. or favors a foot, you think it could be the foot, or it could be the farrier. Blacksmith said that it was his shoulder, but I didn't think it was his shoulder. But I'm respecting my lack of experience that he could have been right. He said to give him stall rest, and I followed Pete Ramey and did the foot soaks and kept exercising him and constantly cleaning out his feet, and then he got better. I don't think his stride is still quite right because I think the prior owners tried to keep him having small feet because I believe they showed him, and so he had very severe contracted heels, and I was working on his feet constantly to get them so that they could open up, and they're looking pretty good, but I just don't know if he could get feedback on what happened there. It was like one visit, and then the next visit I went, he was limping. I was like, whoa, he was in a stall. What happened? I don't know. I'm paranoid, I think.
No. You have to go with what you're receiving. So it is. I don't think it's as bad as what it was. I think the treatments that you're doing are perfect for him. It is the lower part of the right leg going from the hoof up to the knee. I don't feel anything in the shoulder. That could be simply a matter of fact that if he's in the stall for so long, you know, it's going to get a little stiff and a little sore on him. He may have tweaked it a little bit, but it is the lower part of the leg going in down into the hoof. So I would definitely, keep an eye on that. You can do soaks, which I think are great. Definitely supplements. We've talked about that in the past. You know, a good glucosamine, chondroitin, MSM supplement. Get that into the diet. That's great for both the horses, actually. It doesn't hurt either one of them. And, once weather breaks, you can get him out and get him, give him as much exercise as possible. I think that leg will come around. But, I'm not getting anything in the shoulder area at all.
Yeah, well, he's not limping. And I'm doing the trimming on his feet because everybody wants to take the toe off from the bottom. And I just said, no. And he's doing good so far, so I'm going to keep doing what we've been doing, and I'm watching for his expressions and feedback whenever I touch him and go work down there, and that's good. Hopefully he's happy.
Yeah, he is.
Is he happy to you?
Yeah, he's happy. I think he gets along well with Houdini, and I think that's a real nice setup. It's a tough one. I think that, like I said, the situation they're in right now is it's catch-22, like you had mentioned. It's close to home, so you can see him more often. It fits in the schedule, which is the most important thing, which is spend as much time as you can with him. And but on the flip side, it'd be nice to be able to have him in a different place that they feel more comfortable and the people are actually doing, honoring what you're asking them to do. So that's a tough.
But he's not giving you any negative feedback for me to be concerned about anything.
I wouldn't say be concerned. It's just not, it could be better. It could be better.
He's not impressed.
No, he's not impressed. Yeah, no. and he's really going to feed off of Houdini as well. So if Houdini's not impressed, then he's going to feed off that as well.
Okay.
So, yeah, don't think it's anything, major to be concerned with, but, it'll be nice when the day comes when you guys can all be together and you can watch over him all the time.
Okay. Well, I don't think I have any more questions. I want to thank you.
Thank you so much. My pleasure, and thanks for letting me talk to Houdini and Shadow.
Well, thank you. And so I guess I'll just, you can mute me out now.
Okay, thank you so much, Cheryl, for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having this. This was wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hello, Liv, are you there?
Of course.
Okay, well, it's your turn. Let's talk about Baron.
How's it going, Tim?
It's going great. How are you doing?
I'm good. I just have to be here, thank goodness, that I actually had the time.
That's good.
As usual. And as usual, my dogs are sound asleep at my feet whenever you're on.
I'm glad I can bring them calming energy.
That's for darn sure. Well, I just wanted to get another update on Baron to see where he's at, because I know we talked about him the last time and how nervous and stressful and to talk to him and all that stuff. And I haven't had the time that I would like, of course, but I think we're making some small progress.
Yeah, he seems
and just wanted
more,
to see where his head was.
Yeah, he seems a little bit more assured of himself. He's not quite as antsy, I guess would be the word. Have you been able to work with him that much? I know your schedule's busy, but is it more than what it was last month?
No. I really haven't had. The weather has been really, really nasty here, between, 6 or 7 inches of snow to now it's nothing but mud, and it's just been a mess. So, no, I mean, I go out and feed him and spend time with him every day, but it's not as much as I would like and what he would need, but I think we're making some small progress together.
Well, he seems a little bit more sure of himself, a little bit calmer this month. He wants more time spent, that's for sure. And, hopefully when spring comes around, then we'll be able to spend a little more time with him. But
exactly. You know, he still has some massive, you know, spook issues that I can't seem to pinpoint. He doesn't seem to like, you know, my mom, who's the one actually, he's at her house, which I don't know why. but, I mean, I've gotten his weight up. I've gotten his nutrition, I think, balanced. But I'm assuming that you can probably tell me more about that.
Yeah, he feels much better than he did in the past. So is he eating readily?
He seems to, depending on where I put his hay, because he's very temperamental about a certain part of the paddock. But with the mud right now it's the only drier place to feed.
Right. And it's different from where he usually feeds?
Yes, it is. It's just on the other end of the paddock, but it's underneath a tree, and I don't think, you know, he's very spooky. It's close to a trailer. He's freaked out about the trailer. You know, it's a monster.
That's right.
When it comes to the less time, you know, like I said, I try and spend as much time as I can daily with him whenever I'm feeding. He gets good treats, you know. He gets the cereals, the bran mashes, the beet pulp. You know, I think he usually get a treat every day. They get their daily herbs and nutrition.
Well, that's a pretty good life.
Yeah.
No, he actually feels better. He feels a little bit more assured. I think you're on the right track. I think the feed is, and, you know, everything you're doing for him there is good. I think that, you know, I'm really looking forward to the time when you can spend a little bit more time with him. I know with scheduling stuff it's tough, but I think that's going to build up his confidence as well. Yeah, and everything else, you know, I hate saying this, but it is what it is. And there's
mm-hmm.
not, you know, there's not like you can go out and make a major change right now.
No.
So, you know, I would just continue
to work. Is there a reason why he doesn't like, he doesn't seem to like anybody else? Is there a reason? Is it a trust issue?
I think a lot of it is, I mean, he's got a lot of, he's not as self-confident as he will be as you continue to work with him. So I think there's that factor. I hate to say this. Where he's located at, do they want him there?
Yeah, I think, well, okay. it's kind of, he's here with me to kind of winter through the, you know, of course, to winter. And I think he's there, they kind of consider, you know, not that they don't want him there, but it's just an additional mouth to feed, you know, additional thing to take care of, that kind of thing.
So you want to continue to explain that to him as well, that, you know, it's not a fact that he's not wanted, but it's the fact that, you know, it is a challenge, you know, continue to upkeep everything going on there. So what you need him to do is be strong, be patient with them, allow them to, work with him, allow them to, you know, have him get comfortable with them as much as possible, because that's going to make you really happy, and that's going to make you feel good that everything's that he's well and he's well taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it's not a bad situation. He would prefer more one-on-one time, and I think as you continue to work with him, he'll get more and more confidence built up. Just right now, it's sort of, you know, it's not his ideal situation. You know, the routine's not quite where he wants it to be, and he likes what he likes. He's comfortable with what he's comfortable with. And if there's a
mm-hmm.
slight change or modification, then he's not going to be too happy with it.
So you think a lot of it just comes down to the fact that he's just very unsure with himself.
Yeah, I think he's kind of unsure with himself, and the people that are, if they're with him and spend time with him like you do, then he's going to get more and more confidence built up and be more open to being with them. But if he's just another mouth to feed, then he's, don't expect miracles around those
mm-hmm.
that type of energy.
Yeah, and they're just not horse people. That's just simple. My mom loves them, but, you know, she doesn't trust them, and he's not hers, and, well, he's not mine either, but, you know, I do the best I can for him, because, you know, regardless, he's a challenge, but it's a challenge that I'm actually, when I have the time, looking forward to.
Yeah, There you go. There you go.
Liz,
and she knows that.
Where is his owner? Does she ever visit him?
Occasionally, once every couple months. They live up in the high country. We're talking, you know, 4 or 5 feet of snow, you know, so she doesn't get down near as much as she'd like.
I wonder if he misses her or misses, you know.
He never spent any time with her.
Oh, poor guy.
Yeah, he has kind of been back and forth to different homes and, you know, kind of lack of attention since he was a show horse. Since he quit doing that job, he's pretty much been out in the pasture, left alone. You know, every once in a while somebody come out and groom him, give him a treat. Other than that, you know, that was it.
Yeah. And so that's going to be a key part of it. You know, when we talk about the uncertainty, if he had a particular lifestyle before, you know, like you said, nobody spent any dedicated time with him other than showing him, and now he's not being showed, so now he doesn't get any dedicated time. So he has a lot of uncertainty with him. But I think that as you continue to work with him, you'll start to see more and more positive results out of him. And, you know, I would just continue to do a lot of explaining to him of the situation and make sure he knows what's going on and make sure that he doesn't feel like he's just, you know, a kept horse, that he's just a horse.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big part.
Oh, yeah. When I'm there, I try to spend the quality time.
Yeah, that's it. So,
you know, and that's all I can do really with him.
That's it, yeah. So I would just continue to do that, show him love and try to spend as much time as you can with him and see if the other people around him can be a little bit more supportive if possible.
Well, that's true. It's very true, you know.
Yeah.
It's very, very true. And I was actually encouraged yesterday when I went out to paddock to catch him, and I actually told him, come here. And I snapped my fingers, and he just walked right over. I was like, okay.
Gotta love it.
Well, folks,
you know, because it was muddy. It was so muddy, and I did not want to walk out in that muck. So I'm like, just come over here.
Don't blame you.
We're out of time. Sorry.
That's okay.
All right. Our
as usual,
so
thank
fast.
You, Tim.
Well, thank you so much. We appreciate it, and look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Thank you, Tim,
next month.
Thank you, everybody who joined in today, and we'll see you next month.
Natural Horse Network is your one-stop source for all things natural for horses. Natural Horse Network was founded in 2005 in order to bring together natural horse care, natural horse training, education, and learning. Visit their website at www.naturalhorsenetwork.com today for all your horse care needs. Again, that's www.naturalhorsenetwork.com.